We are in our evangelism series, and we're on week 5. Just give you a little recap of where we've been and where we're going. The first week or two, we really focused on the basics of sharing our faith, sharing the gospel. What are those components of the gospel that you want to communicate as you're telling people about the gospel? So basics, basic mechanics. And then after that, we spent a week looking a little bit about the subject of fear and thinking about how to deal with our fear biblically, with particular with regard to evangelism. And then last week, we had a chance to study about giving our testimony. And we talked about what makes for a good testimony, and especially about pointing people to Jesus and about making use of some scripture as we reflect on our testimony and to see how the scriptures either influenced how we came to know the Lord or maybe how, looking back, we see how what the scripture said describes our situation and how God ultimately worked to bring us to Christ. And so we did a little bit of that. And I'm drawing a blank here. I know my homework assignment last week was to go home and put together either in your mind or on paper a 1 to 2 minute testimony so we can break up in groups midway through today and share our testimonies to one another. And I forget who was here or not here. And so would you just raise your hand if you did that so I get a sense of how many groups we can have? Who actually has some sort of testimony put together? Okay, we got at least two. And I'm sure Marlon, I could put him on the spot. He'd be willing to come up with one real quick, too. So we can have at least three groups. And if you didn't write a testimony, that's okay. You can listen to the testimony and think about your own testimony that you might put together. And you can also go online and listen to that Sunday school and think a little bit about what's involved in a testimony. And so my hope is to have time to do that at the end today. Before we break up into groups and actually practice our testimonies from last week, we're going to do something that I think is probably one of the more pragmatic things I've done in Sunday school today. It's not going to be a lot of super in-depth Bible study that we will look at a few verses. But essentially to think about how to incorporate Jesus and the gospel into our conversations. And maybe to put it in a different way, how to make the most of every opportunity so that we can be intentional as we talk with people and find opportunities in our conversations to tell people about Jesus. Now, this doesn't mean, of course, that every time you have any conversation, you have to instantly bring up the gospel or something because otherwise you failed. You know, I suspect when you go and buy bread at the grocery store, you're probably not going to be able to do this with them. You're going to be buying bread. And so you'll need to know when an opportunity is actually an opportunity. But there was this great little book in college. I say great little book. I guess I like the title more than anything about the book. The title was called Speaking of Jesus. And I'm not necessarily telling you to write it down to go buy it. I'm telling you because I like the title. The title, Speaking of Jesus, you know, you might say, well, speaking of this, they may not be speaking about Jesus, but you can find a way to suddenly transition the conversation to have an opportunity to speak about Jesus. I think that's the idea. And so it's about being intentional in your conversations. And what I'm going to do today here is you see this interesting looking outline here. This is an outline from a book called Everyday Evangelism, EV2. This is something you could write down as something that you might want to get or pick up. And you guys remember those green tracks I gave you? Those green tracks were by a group called Evangelism Explosion. And this is like their next generation evangelism product, I guess you could say. It's a whole course. I contemplated even just doing their course. But, you know, these courses, unfortunately, involve quite a lot of financial money to invest in all their different products if you're going to do it right. Maybe we'll do that at one point. But I bought a student handbook for myself and used some of the material to think about our series as we put it together. And what I want to do is go through what they have, and this is what they have up here, is a chapter on here about how to essentially bring a conversation to talk about Jesus. And so I say this is the more pragmatic thing because, you know, I can't necessarily look and find this sort of outline, you know, and flip over to Acts 5:3 and say, oh, here it is. But this is kind of some common grace wisdom that will help us to think today about how to talk about Jesus. And if I look at this outline, I almost kind of laugh at it when I kind of think through it. It's got, you know, share the gospel's way at the bottom. And testimony's not very far away from there. There's a lot of stuff that might seem like almost too pragmatic. Almost like, you know, you're going through those tracks. And those tracks work great as long as the people know the script. As long as they know how they're supposed to answer. And that's never how life works, right? And that'll be like what we're going to go through today. We're going to talk about how these might work. But the reality is the other person doesn't have this script, so they're probably not going to answer exactly the way you want them to. But I hope that we can at least think about some practical things today about engaging in dialogue with people. And so I'm going to take us through this and really take it through what I have in just one page right here in the book. And then in that, bring out a verse or two that we'll look at today. Does that make sense? Question on the plan? Okay. So you meet someone, you know them really well, you don't. How in a conversation might you end up talking about Jesus? So, you know, first you're going to start with hopefully probably some casual conversation, right? Hi, how are you? What's your name, obviously? But, you know, what are some of those casual conversations? Tell me about your work, your family, your travel, your hobbies, different basic kind of questions. Nothing per se spiritual or deep. But then the second group gets into engaging a little further, engaging questions, deeper questions, things that might lead to deeper spiritual sorts of conversations. You might start even when you just ask them about their jobs or their hobbies or their travels. What do you like most about those things? Well, okay, now you're starting to get into the things they value. And then, you know, a little bit further, you might ask them just straight out, do you have a spiritual background? Or did you grow up religious? Did you grow up going to church? Do you ever think about spiritual things? Have you ever seen any evidence for God in your life? Have you ever seen God answer a prayer? These are all the sample questions they're giving me here. And, you know, some of them are more connected to the casual conversation than others. But the point is to try to go from casual conversation to think about how you can get a little bit deeper. And some of those deeper questions might be really directly related to the hook they give you. You know, they start telling you about something difficult in work, and you can ask them about, oh, man, how does that make you feel? And you get a little bit deeper in to get to know them and, you know, get to a place where, you know, the Bible might very comment on a particular situation that they have. And then the next little thing it suggests is a transition. And this is to transition you to start getting more deeper into sharing your faith. And the way they put the transition, they say, for example, it sounds like your life is going pretty well. Or, it sounds like your life is not going very well. So beginning to assess, and I love how they put either or option can bring you a chance to share the gospel. But think about that just for a second. Life's going pretty well? Well, let me begin to get deeper in spiritual. Or life's not going very well. Or did I say that? Going well or not going well, right? If someone's life is going really well, everything seems wonderful. That's the result of your casual conversations, engaging questions. They think they don't have a problem in the world. But they're not a Christian. Just from a standpoint, you know, how might you assess that? Is life really going that well for them? Is there any problem? Does the Bible speak to a life full of success, but apart from God? Can you think of any passages that might be something that you might have in the back of your mind that might ultimately be some way to challenge them? Well, I'll give you one. Flip over to Luke 12. Some of the few verses we're going to look at today are ones that I think you want to keep in the back of your mind. Because that's what you want to do, is you want to have, you're right, the Bible is called the sword of the Spirit, right? You want to have your weapons available to you for attacking unbelief. And so Luke 12, I'll just read it for us, 13 through 21. This is a parable. He said, then one from the crowd said to him, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" So for someone who thinks life is going so well, but they don't have God, they might tell you, "My job is going so well. I just got a promotion. We just got back from Hawaii. I finally paid off my car loan. Everything seems to be going so well. Not a problem in life." What might you be thinking in the back of your mind as you're hoping to direct the conversation? How does that passage speak to that situation? Anyone? David? What's that?
Don't keep it for yourself.
Share it. I'm not sure this is what I was thinking here. I was thinking...
Don't make those your priorities.
What's that?
Don't make that your priorities,
yeah. You know, the bumper sticker that comes to my mind, I think it's a bumper sticker. They say, "He who dies with the most toys..." Well, you see two versions. Wins, right? I've also seen, "He who dies with the most toys still dies." So you have to think about which bumper sticker is going to be your slogan in life. People need to think beyond this life and about what's going to be rewarding beyond this life. And that's not to say that God doesn't have a care for this life as well. He does for you. So let's think about this from the other side. Let's say the result of your conversations are that everything's falling apart in my life. Is there anyone out there who can help me? That might be the complete opposite response, right? Well, I think a good passage just to have in mind here is John 10:10. And this might be one that you memorize part of it here, that you can just speak very encouraging to someone in that kind of situation. John 10:10. And the part you might particularly quote is the last half, but I'll read the whole verse. It says, "The thief does not come except to steal and kill and to destroy. I have come," this is Jesus, "I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." And so, you know, the part you can tell people when they're in their dire straits is, you know, Christ came that we would have life and life abundantly. That's what Jesus' own words were. And so when our life seems like it's falling down, crashing down upon us, this is the time to realize that there is a way to have abundant life. And that's true, actually, in both of the two circumstances, right? The life that the rich, successful, everything's going well in this world sort of perspective still needs that same abundant life. And it's not something found in earthly treasures, though we might think that at times. And on the other hand, even the one whose life seems to be crashing down again, that's the same thing they need, is that life and life abundant. So the transition here is to begin to have them assess their own circumstances, and I think has helped them to assess it even with Scripture. And I wouldn't say at this point, you know, hey, let's stop and flip over to Luke 12. If they're willing, that's great. But maybe even at this point, is just with having a couple verses in your mind, well, you know, there's this great passage in Luke 12 that talks about how, you know, we need to store up treasures, not just in this life, but even ultimately think about eternity. Have you thought about eternity? And that might be some engaging sort of question that basically becomes a transition for you. And you'll notice here it's got launch questions next. Feel free to interrupt me with questions, by the way. Launch questions that they have here. On a scale of 1 to 10, how fulfilling would you say your life is and why? On a scale of 1 to 10, how fulfilling would you say your life is and why? What might move it closer to a 10? And if God were part of your life, would it move it one way or the other? Get them to weigh in on this, to see where they're at with God. And this is, again, a place where they suggest you could actually quote John 10:10. again, life and life abundant. That's what we want to see people find, is that abundant life. And of course, we know the fullness of that abundant life. We talk about it each week. It's not just it's not ultimately about having every toy here in this world. It's something far deeper than that, far greater than that, far more rewarding than that. But the idea of the launch questions is to it's really the other half of that transition, right? You're going from engaging questions to really get them to weigh in themselves on their life. You yourself might be able to weigh in from what they've said, you know, that they don't know God. But now we're trying to see, you know, where are they at? And obviously, you know, this is where the trapped kind of mentality comes in. We're hoping they'll say, well, I'm a 9, you know. But what can you get to be a 10? Well, you know, maybe that part that's really still missing in your life is God. And then it lists here testimony or your story. And this is where what we talked about last week comes into play. We talked about what's involved in a good testimony. And so we're not going to cover all that right now. But let me add a few things here. You know, this might be the chance where you tell them your specific testimony, how you came to faith. But probably more so, you want to be able to get to a point where you can respond to the very specific things they're saying with some God story that's relevant in your life. Meaning, you know, it's one thing, can I share you my testimony, how I became a Christian and how that helped my life? You could do that, and that would be great, and that's wonderful, actually. But you might also realize that they have some specific thing they're dealing with. And as you reflect on your own life and how God's worked in your life, there may be some experience with God and the Scriptures and in your prayer life that is very relevant to their situation that leads you into ultimately sharing the gospel. And so, just a couple silly examples. Let's say if they had a near-death experience. And let's say you've had a near-death experience in your life. That's just, you know, very simple example. But, you know, you could tell them about the sort of near-death experience you had and to share why, as a Christian, you ultimately had a bit of peace about it, even though certainly it was scary and you could understand those sorts of things. But, you know, you can share about that peace that you have, that you know that your life, even if you die in this world, that you're going to be in heaven with the Lord. And that assurance and peace that you have is something that you can convey. And ultimately want to leave it as something that they want too. Ultimately, that's what you're going to get to as you share the gospel. Flip over to 1 John 5. If you come away with two scriptures today particularly, I think it should be that John 10:10 and the 1 John 5 passage. And 1 John 5:13. And Marlon, why don't you read it?
These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God.
All right. And the basic point of mentioning that here in this context is the idea of knowing that you have eternal life, having assurance. And, you know, you can just basically reference this again and say, you know, the Bible says in 1 John 5:13 that we can know that we will have eternal life. And that's why in that near-death experience, I can have a peace about it, because I know where I'm going. And that's what you want to get them to be at that point, right? That they can know where they're going as well. Or let's say, maybe it's not a near-death experience. Maybe in the conversation, they've told you how recently they got cheated from someone. And it kills them. It bothers them. They're upset. They're angry. And maybe you could tell them about how you got cheated before. And maybe you could tell them the difference between when you got cheated from someone before you were a Christian and how maybe it's a little different now that you're a Christian. Maybe you could say, you know, before when I got cheated from someone, when I wasn't a Christian, I sat around stewing about it. And that's understandable in a certain way. And I badmouthed them behind their back, and I did this or that thing. And now, even though I still get upset and angry when someone cheats me, more and more I find myself, I just feel really horrible for that person. Because I know the very own hole in their life that led them to do that. And, you know, I found that when that happens, what I try to do now is I try to start praying for that person. And, you know, I've realized how much Jesus suffered for my sake because I did the same sorts of things too. And so this is now as a chance to talk about why Christ suffered and show that your own personal comfort and advantage in this world isn't really your ultimate goal anymore, and that Christ calls us to have a compassion for enemies. And this can obviously bring you around to the gospel and why that is. So those are just a couple examples where your testimony, and those are broad even, but your testimony at this stage might really be specifically responding to the conversations you've already had with them. And again, try to bring in Scripture. Questions on that so far? Anything I've said so far? Marlon?
Launch questions?
Mm-hmm.
Other examples of that?
I wish they did.
I want to tend to move from pride. I have a hard time imagining asking something.
Yeah. I would feel the same way. And I think, kind of what I said in the beginning, I think this whole thing feels slightly sterile. If anything you get away today is to begin to think about the connections that your conversations can have to bring you ultimately closer to dealing with core, deeper issues. And if you don't have in your mindset, okay, now I'm on a casual question, now I'm on an engaging question, now I'm on a transitional, I don't imagine us being able to do that anyways. But rather to see as we walk through what we're talking about today, the sorts of things that can get us to talk about spiritual things. So instead of asking them on 1 to 10 scale, you know, after they, on that transition, they say, you know, you say, it sounds like your life is going not very well right now. And, you know, they say, you're right. And they start crying. And, you know, maybe that's the opportunity to be like, well, have you ever thought about God in your life? Because I can tell you, I've been there myself. And the only thing that saved me is Jesus. Yeah, this is just hard to say in an arbitrary circumstance, but to, you know, begin to put it back to them to think about, are they willing to go down that path? I think one of the things I was going to say at the end here is that we want to, throughout this process, is ask for permission before you just start throwing everything out at them. You know, oftentimes Christians are called as being pushy, and here you're in this kind of one-on-one situation with someone. This isn't like you're just standing on the street corner preaching the gospel. This is one-on-one evangelism. And probably in a relationship you're building with someone. It's all doesn't even have to happen on one specific conversation. But to take the opportunity, hey, is it okay if I share with you my own story about something similar and how God's helped me? And Marla, I would say, yes, I would think that some of these questions do sound a bit sterile, and we want to just take the idea here and try to run with it. Did I see a question? Other question?
Yeah,
okay, and then from the testimony, get into the diagnostic questions. And this actually, the diagnostic questions is something we already talked about with that evangelist explosion track. You might remember there were two questions there. Anybody remember what the two questions were, basically? I'll read it here. They're a little worded more differently here, but same idea. Have you come to the place in your life, it says in your spiritual life, where you know for certain that if you were to die today, you would have eternal life? And so that's the question, where are you going to go when you die, basically? And then the second question, if you stood before God and you were to ask you, why should I let you into my heaven, what would you say? So that's the kind of follow-up question. What's the basis? Why do you have confidence you won't be in heaven or will be in heaven? And those two diagnostic questions can help you figure out real quick where they're at with their own faith. Because often they'll tell you about, yeah, I'm sure I'm going to heaven. And why? Because I've been a basically good person. Well, that's obviously something that the gospel will address and we want to bring out. Other person might say, I have no idea and I'm scared to death about dying. Well, let me tell you as well. And so that, those diagnostic questions are really to lead you immediately into sharing the gospel. And at that point, you could use a tract. You could use the Romans Road that we did the other day. You could just work with some Bible passages to share the gospel with them. You could just tell them John 3:16 and start there. But the point is to then get into sharing the gospel. And maybe just for sake of helping us think about dialoguing, if they were to say, oh yeah, I'm going to heaven because I've been a basically good person, what might be an initial passage that comes to your mind that might address that kind of circumstance? That would say that's wrong, unbiblical thinking. Anyone? Perfect. And that's actually Romans Road. And so suddenly now you've got a great way to start down Romans Road. Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the next one in Romans Road is Romans 6:23. Now I'm screwing myself up. Help me out. 6:23. That's not right. 6:28. Thank you. The wages of sin is death. Those two together are the bad news, right? And so, right away, you have to challenge that kind of unbiblical thinking. And I think, again, this is where it comes into asking questions. I think it's wise in our relationships. If they tell you that, you say, well, you know, it's actually different than what I believe. And I think it's different than what the Bible, you know, I believe it's different than what the Bible says, too. Would you be okay if I shared with you a couple passages from Scripture that I just have memorized? If you have a Bible, we could open it up, too. You know, I think asking permission is very helpful. Can I tell you about my own story of faith? Whatever kind of words sound right in your own mouth. Another little tip here, in addition to asking permission as you're going through this with them, is to be a good listener. Be a good listener. Don't monopolize the conversation. In fact, I think most of the benefits you can do in the conversation is gather where they're at, so that when you do start sharing and do start talking, you can be pointed in a loving way, I'm saying. That different people are at different places, and so you have a chance to understand where they're at and specifically address those false ideas that they have or those pain points that are really going on in their lives and hearts. And another practical suggestion here is to repeat back what they've said. So often when I see myself having trouble in conversation with someone, or when I watch and observe other people having conversation troubles, is because people are talking past each other. You think they said one thing, or maybe frankly you assumed they said one thing, or maybe they didn't say what they really meant, and you then operate off of what you either thought they said or what they really did say, which wasn't right, and then you're not actually dealing with the real thing. But sometimes just repeating back. So, you don't have hope that when you die you'll be in heaven. So you don't think you know really much about Jesus. So you don't know what the Bible teaches about the afterlife, or about grace. Or, so you're saying you understand the gospel to be that Christ set an example for you, and now if you follow and do all his example, you can be saved. That's wrong thinking, right? But you point it back to them, and then say, well, actually, the gospel is a little different than that, actually. And it's why they call the gospel good news, because, frankly, that's not very good news, because that puts it back onto something that I haven't been able to achieve, and I don't think any human, the Bible says no human will achieve. So, do you see the, what you can do here? So, hopefully this has helped kind of just think today about some of the casual conversation that you can have and how to steer it toward the Lord. Any other questions on that today? Kathy?
How do you deal with somebody who doesn't believe in the Bible at all?
Question that keeps coming up, and
the Quran, or mm-hmm. Or a Buddhist or something.
Question that keeps coming up, and a large part of my answer right now is basically to say that we're going to deal with that subject a lot in an apologetics section that's going to come up during this course of the series, as well as we're going to deal with specific key other religions. And so we'll address both the person who doesn't believe in the Bible in general, and we'll address the person who. Of different key faiths, such as Islam. But to answer the question just briefly right now, as I say, one, I don't think just because they don't believe in it that we ought not to be able to use it. And the second thing is, I think, you know, if you're in this kind of conversation and they start telling you about their faith, this is perfect. Can I tell you now about my faith and what Christianity believes and teaches? And frankly, and you have to do this, I think, lovingly, but this is going to help you to show them their own problems with their own faith. Take Islam, for example. Islam, as you hear them talking, you'll get this out of them, I think, that You can be saved if Allah forgives you. Allah is perfectly just and righteous, perfectly. And if you live a good enough life, He may forgive you, but you have to ask Him for it. Well, the question becomes is, under what basis does Allah forgive you? If He's perfectly just, doesn't He have to punish you? Okay, He's merciful too, but then He's not fully just. Christianity actually deals with that subject, doesn't it? It deals with that, the cross. And it's why the cross is so important. And so in that dialogue with them, you should be able to talk about your religions with each other. They always say, don't talk about politics and religion, right? Well, we often talk about politics and religion, even though it may be a source of conflict. And I think if you're dialoguing with people, you want to be able to get to a place where you can say, okay, I acknowledge you don't believe this, but can I share what I believe? And let's hear out each other's viewpoints. And be willing and safe to challenge each other's viewpoints, too. So that would be the basic answer to your question, and we'll get more specifically as we go further in the apologetics section of this series. So, good question. Other questions? Well, we have time for at least one person in each small group to share their personal testimony. Remember, because I said just 1 or 2 minutes, just something brief. This is to get us practice at doing this. We've got to practice doing this. So I know Kathy said that she had a testimony to share. Dennis said, so Dennis, why don't you move back with them, and maybe Kathy can come over here. And sorry if you guys are getting all the spotlight. If someone else, groups of 3 or 4 at the most, and if someone else is bold enough and say, I'm willing to share my testimony, then go for it. Now I'm going to turn the recorder off so you don't have to feel like you're on the